My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast. Let's study a great Old Testament story. Let's study the mighty walls of Jericho. In Joshua chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, the Bible tells us of this beautiful story. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend every man straight before him. And that's what happened. God gave Jericho to Joshua and the children of Israel. And again, for 6 days they would go around the city once each day. On the 7th day they would march around 7 times, blow the trumpets, let out a shout, and the walls will fall. This is a great story, folks, and the lessons we can learn from it are tremendous. Let's consider, first of all, that the Lord's word will stand when other things fall. Note the words of our Lord in chapter 6 and verse 2. I have given. From God to Joshua to the people, they responded and did when God commanded, as God commanded, because God commanded. And God's word stands clear to this very hour. It stands. And when we do what God commands in His Word, as He commands in His Word, because God commanded in His Word, God will bless us and grant unto us just like He did the children of Israel. The Word of God is inspired, it's clear, and it is used to guide us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The latter part of John 6:63, Jesus said, The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Later on, such caused Peter to declare in John 6:68, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And the words that Christ has brought forth will judge us in the last day. We see that from John 12:48. Now, of course, in reading this story of the walls of Jericho, we might think the requirements are a bit ridiculous. But you know, there are other places where we may think comments are ridiculous. You know, the Apostle Paul said that preaching the gospel seemed to be foolish to some. How about 1 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 18? Here's exactly what Paul said. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Does that mean that God is foolish? Oh, no, no, no. Does that mean God is weak? No, no. But if people want to look upon preaching of the gospel as foolishness and weakness of God, Paul said, call it what you want, but it's still stronger than the best man has to offer. And as you and I think about this, folks, when God comes forth with His Word, and God says, here's what will happen, and God says, here's what we will grant, when God says, I have given, then my friends, we need to go get it. Because all things have been given unto us that pertain unto life and godliness. That's 2 Peter 1:3. Nothing else out there is going to change that. God has given us all things. That means nothing else that pertain to life and godliness. We have His Word. And He gave His only begotten Son that we might live, John 3:16. So these are things we must pursue and go get for our benefit. That knowing God's Word stands when other things fall. And that we need to pursue it and go after it and press onward in the work of the Lord and let nothing stop us. My friends, worry, strife, aggravation. People are troubled in a variety of ways. They don't know what to do. It's not a lot of joy. It's not a lot of fun. But my friends, you can simply respond and you can simply do what God would have you to do today. And if you'll do just that, always remember the Lord's Word stands where other things fall. Let's move on to number two. Through one's obedient faith, the walls of Jericho will still fall. Other walls will fall too. The question is, just how big were the walls of Jericho? On about 7 acres of land, many believe the city was surrounded by a double wall. Dr. John Garstand, former director of the British School of Archaeology in Jerusalem, learned in his excavation of the city of Jerusalem, or rather of Jericho, he discovered actually two walls about 15 feet apart. The outer wall was 6 feet thick and the inner wall was 12 feet thick. The height was 30 feet. Now, George Dehoff in his handbook affirmed the same. As the walls fell, he was able to discover how the structure was somewhat laid out. And as he noted this, it was interesting to see just how thick the walls were. How did those walls fall, friends? Was it through works, through poor masonry? Absolutely not. Here's the answer. Hebrews 11:30, by faith. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they was compassed about 7 days. You see, when the children of Israel moved and believed what God said and moved on what God said, that's when it happened. You see, they could have said, well, we believe that, did nothing, wouldn't have done a bit of good. Folks, does this not tie in with what we discussed in an earlier broadcast about faith only? That if a person that believes in God refuses to repent, refuses to confess, refuses to be baptized, then his faith will not save him. But we understand that man is justified by works and not by faith only. Man must have a responding faith to what God has said. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after, watch it now, after they were compassed about 7 days. They believed in what God said and they did what God said. That's Hebrews 11:30. Oh, does that not remind us of the latter part of 1 John 5 and verse 4? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That if we'll take what God said, believe it, and do it, we will be blessed. When man responds to God's Word, he believes it and still obeys it, walls will still fall down. You know, the wall of prejudice will fall down. In Ephesians 2:11-16, the Bible says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You see, between Jew and Gentile should be no more type of prejudice. Christ has broken that down, neither Jew, neither Gentile, but we can be one in Christ. We continue this thought from James chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, or say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are you not then become partial in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? Now listen to this. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. This teaches a wonderful lesson concerning being impartial. And our Lord taught that our judging should be a righteous judgment, not according to the flesh. That's John 7:24. May we submit to you that the wall of struggles and challenges will fall down? 1 Peter 5:7 teaches that we cast our cares on Him. Matthew 11, beginning with verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I recall a wonderful song that I used to sing with young people years ago called "Lay Down the Burdens of Your Heart." It said, "Lay down the burdens of your heart. I know you'll never miss them. Show the Father where it hurts and let your Father lift it." My friends, you don't have to deal with the struggles and challenges. If you will move on your faith and obedience to God, He'll help you meet those very things. That brings us to think about the wall of sin and how it will fall down. The wall of sin will fall down. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 59:2. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." The wall of sin comes between us and God. When we are obedient unto God, the wall of sin will fall, and God says, "I'll give it to you." Beloved and dear friends, what is between you and God? What is hindering your obedience to God? What is in your way that you cannot live for God and allow Him to let those walls fall down? You've tried long enough to settle it by yourself. It just will not work. My friends, let me encourage you. God's Word stands. The things of this life will fall. I would submit to you that you need to begin marching around some walls this morning. It's time for you to move on your faith of God, to move on what He says, march around it, and let those walls come down through your obedient faith in God. March away from the things that are a hindrance. Let them fall. My friends, we've talked about God's plan of salvation. Through a gracious faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, John 8:32, you'll know that truth, the truth will make you free. You believe it? Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." John 8:24. Repent of your sins as Jesus taught in Luke 13:3. Confess Him before man as taught in Matthew 10:32-33. And based on that, be baptized in order to be saved, Mark 16:16. To have those sins washed away, Acts 22:16. You may hear other programs that will extend to you a plan of salvation that's not according to what we've just said. My friends, don't listen to them. What we have stated has come from God's Word, and yes, they are of necessity. And your walls will fall down without question. Thank you for joining us on this great study.